Hello, this is Eric Ponder, and I am interviewing Melanie Malema, a former resident of Hillbrow. Can you talk about a little bit your history living in Hillbrow during the late 80s?
Yeah, so I lived in Hillbrow in a period between 1988 and 1990, which was a very interesting time, and Hillbrow was a very interesting suburb. Hillbrow was one of the first suburbs that I always knew as being integrated racially. So even before the Group Areas Act was lifted, you would find people of color living in Hillbrow. There were also a lot of, I would say, Eastern Europeans at that time living in Hillbrow, who owned, shops, corner cafes, etc., restaurants. So Hillbrow was kind of the place where you went. Unfortunately, I don't know the circumference that Hillbrow covers, but it's actually a pretty small area in Johannesburg with the most high-rise buildings. And it's, even back then, it was densely populated, I suppose because of, having so many flats. And I lived in this building that is, it's quite a unique building, which is quite well-known even today. Today it's not as well known for good, and this is called the Ponty City, and it had 52 or 51 floors, and for us to live in that building at the time, my husband had to get a white gentleman to actually sign the lease for us to live there, because we couldn't live there. But there were many other black people living there, particularly people that had returned from exile. So you had the likes of, what is his name? A lot of them have long passed. A lot of the veterans, Alfred Nzor, I remember, lived there. One of the Sisulu girls lived there. And so a lot of them, when they were coming back, were being based at Ponty City. And it was a very modern building, with a gym and a swimming pool and a store downstairs. So it was very trendy.
And it's one of the iconic towers that make up the skyline.
The city. Still do. Yeah. A very interesting, because it's symmetrical. The architecture is quite interesting. A little bit more about Hillbrow. So Hillbrow was this cosmopolitan area, I can say so, within the middle of Johannesburg, in a time when South Africa, I think, was very volatile, on the verge of all these negotiations happening. It had all these trendy clubs. So, at that time I was in my very early 20s. So a lot of us used to hang out in these clubs, and a lot known for music. You could walk around at night. Crime really wasn't an issue, and I have to stress that it really wasn't an issue. You could come out of a club and walk home. You'd have, Hillbrow was the only place where there were 24-hour, stores. What do you call them? Convenience stores, yeah, where you could go and get stuff to eat or groceries, but you'd also find places open where you could get food, takeaway meals. It definitely was a very exciting place. If you wanted to, I also think lots of shady deals happened in Hillbrow, because you'd always see people who looked as if they belonged to the mafia. So you had that element as well. But I think everybody just knew everybody. The prostitution was quite prevalent and very evident, but at a very different level to what you see today. There were particular hotels and whatever where you knew that prostitution was happening, and you saw a lot of, again, like I'm saying, there were a lot of European men who would visit these places. And so in terms of my experience of Hillbrow, it was one that I think I will always remember. and I remember it with good memories because, you know, it exposed me to quite a different side of the city of Johannesburg, because places like Sandton and whatever were there, but, you know, they were just not even thought of. You know, like Rosebank was there, but also not even thought of going. Very, very restricted, those areas. So one felt very comfortable in Hillbrow.
And at this time, was this the time where, or the beginning of the movement of people of color being able to move into this area, or this is a little bit before that?
Look, I think at the time when I was living in Hillbrow, I have to say it was quite I wouldn't say it was 50%, but I think there was at least a 20% number of people of color who had already moved in. It was still very white dominated. Interestingly enough, it was a lot of foreign people who came as immigrants, like, you know, like I said, from Eastern Europe, and Greeks and Germans and people from the Netherlands, and it was a lot of those people who actually lived in Hillbrow. And then, yeah, I suppose some locals. But I think unconsciously, I suppose a lot of these Eastern Europeans or just Europeans owned buildings, and they didn't have a problem with hiring out flats to people of color. So that's how it actually happened, I think. And therefore it just
evolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't something. So I think everybody knew it was happening, but it just kind of turned a blind eye. So I think it's one of the first areas, not I think, I know, it's one of the first areas where, you know, prior to 1994, it was already fully integrated. I definitely can say that, because, I mean, when I left Hillbrow in whenever, 1990 or 91, it was very integrated. At the time, we didn't have many refugees from any other parts of Africa, so you didn't really find that. Whereas now, Hillbrow is quite different in that you have most of your refugees or foreign nationals that have status in South Africa actually now living in Hillbrow. At that time, no, the people that lived in Hillbrow were South Africans.
And do you visit Hillbrow today, or do you have any need to go to shop there or get
your
hair
done? I think unfortunately what happened with Hillbrow is that, like I suppose happens, as I'm told, history proves this, that a lot of cities in the world, after they've gone through war or some type of transition, that there's certain areas of the city that really become sort of dilapidated. And I think Hillbrow bared the brunt of that, and it became extremely dilapidated. Buildings started getting taken over, these, you know, where flats would accommodate maybe 300-400 flats were then what they called hijacked, which is still happening today. And people just kind of go and live in there without any facilities, no water, no electricity. And the reality is now that I would say a very, very large population of Hillbrow are actually people from, you know, Zimbabwe, I suppose, Nigeria, the Congo. And there is a very small percentage, I'd say, of South Africans. Unfortunately, Hillbrow really took from being this vibrant, inner city, trendy place, really took a knock. And I suppose there are intentions, like all over the city of Johannesburg, there are pockets that are being revamped and being refurbished. Hillbrow would be one of them, but I think the major challenge they would face is this: it's just so highly densely populated. So where would you put all these people if you had to begin a revamping process of the area?
And Hillbrow is also very uniquely situated in the city as well, being right next to the CBD. Mm-hmm. And on the outskirts you also have Constitution Hill. Mm-hmm. So would you also argue or say that because of where it's located, that it is still a very important piece of real estate.
I think back 25 years ago, you know, having real estate in Hillbrow would have been an advantage, and you'd be worth a lot. Unfortunately, today, not so. And I think its positioning is quite interesting in that, yes, it is close to the city. I think obviously when through the development of the city from the 30s into the 40s into the 50s, people obviously live closer to their place of work. And so that's how, you know, the city planners of Johannesburg obviously planned it and created this high-rise area, because a lot of immigrants were coming into the country. At that time, not immigrants from the continent, but immigrants from Europe. And so they had to accommodate people somewhere. So that, I believe, is the reason why Hillbrow was actually, you know, it became a high rise. Because if you look at the rest of Johannesburg, we're not really a high rise city. We are blessed to have a lot of land. So most people actually have, you know, a house with a plot of grass. But I think that was, and I think the same applies today, is you've got people who are living there again, who are immigrants, and who maybe have, you know, how long do they know they're going to be here? So for them, it's, I suppose, an interim space, and it's a small space. It's a small space to have, and they're quite happy to live there. Whether it would go back to its former glory, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
So, can you talk about Capital Flight, the capital that left the CBD, and was that in conjunction with White Flight out to like the northern suburbs, and that's why many moved away?
It was about businesses leaving the CBD. Businesses obviously still controlled by whites, and then the large population of Hillbrow were white, and you know, seeing the black population move in, obviously they felt threatened. And so if you look at one particular area where white people moved out very fast, was Hillbrow. You know, there's another area just next door to Hillbrow where you've got a place called Rocky Street. Same happened there. You know, it's right next door. And again, it was a very trendy, popular area. And it was, the people just moved out. That particular area had a lot of, I believe, Jewish immigrants that lived there, because you'll see even today there's a synagogue, and even in Hillbrow, the bottom of Hillbrow, there's a synagogue, and two synagogues within close proximity, but both have been, they're not in use. I think the one was actually bought and turned into a church, if I'm not mistaken. But these things closed down, so that shows you know, the people that lived there were of this, you know, they were Jewish, and so therefore they had their places of worship. And but it doesn't mean that Hillbrow only had Jewish people. No, there was a different variety of people that lived in Hillbrow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Melanie.
It's a pleasure.